Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. I'm your host, Bill Snyder, and on today's episode, I am blessed to be joined by the creators of the Mystic Chapel, the brand new album from the project, Dwayne Arnold and Michael Bell. So thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining me here on this episode of Young Catholics Respond, only on Patchwork Heart Radio.
Yes, it's a pleasure. Pleasure to be here.
So I want to talk about the creation of this new album that you guys released. Of course, listeners on Patchwork Heart Radio would know the Martyr's Prayers album that you put out. But let's talk about the creation of this new album and the genesis of it just a little bit. It's called Mystic Chapel, so let's begin with that. Why is it called Mystic Chapel, and where did you get the inspiration?
Well, the inspiration, I'll tell you about how it came to be Mystic Chapel in a little bit, but first of all, the inspiration for it came about 35 years ago when Dwayne and myself, Michael, were on staff together at a community of faith, and I'll never forget that Dwayne introduced me to one of his friends in Fort Wayne, Father Vladimir, who is an Eastern Orthodox priest. And this is when I'm in my early 20s and really seeking, kind of seeking all kinds of different spiritual directions in my life and longing for new kinds of worship. And I was really into the Eastern Orthodox Church at the time and loved their liturgy. And I met with Father Vladimir, and he gave me a booklet of the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom from the 5th century. St. John Chrysostom was known as the Golden Mouth. John the Golden Mouth, because he preached so well and apparently had a wonderful voice. But he also put together beautiful liturgy. And so Father Vladimir gave me this booklet of the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom. He said, since you like this so much, here, I'll give you this copy. And I brought it back home, and I started just putting, the words were so beautiful, I just started putting them to music. And so literally half of the album was written 35 years ago after I received the this little liturgy book from this Eastern Orthodox priest. And so that's how it all started. And one Thanksgiving, the sound man of the band that I was traveling with at the time, he worked in a guitar shop, and his boss said, I'm going to be gone, closing down the guitar shop. If you want the recording studio that's in the back of the guitar shop, if you want to use it, you can. And so I spent a Thanksgiving weekend recording those songs. One of them was Joyous Light, and Death is Destroyed, I think, was another one off of the album. And so that's kind of how it came to be. The name of Mystic Chapel, we really intend to bring the listener on a journey, on a real faith journey, and it's kind of reflective of our own faith journeys, Dwayne and myself, to where we've been through so much from the Jesus movement, Jesus freaks, to searching in denominational kind of settings in the Protestant church, to mega churches, kind of seeing what those have to offer, and finally kind of ending up back to our roots of ancient liturgy and of course the Catholic Church. And so Mystic Chapel is meant to be a journey. It's meant to be a so that's what's behind the name. Is the character kind of is us, and we're journeying to this mystic chapel where we're encountered with our own faith and worship.
That's a very unique way to approach worship. I find the album, and our listeners can hear it on Patchwork Heart Radio, and we're going to feature a few of the songs within this podcast as well. But the thing I find so interesting about it is that it really truly is a worship album. You can find yourself worshiping with the music. You can find yourself elevated to God, which is exactly what you're going for. And I know that you asked the question, you know, what if we still believed inside of the album cover? And that's the kind of the question that this this album asks. What if we still believe? So that's incredibly incredibly insightful, I think, for a lot of people in today's world where there are less and less believers.
Yes, you know, so what if we still, you know, our Martyr's Prayers, our first album, asked the question of what would you die for, and really emphasized the faith of the martyrs and saints that have gone before. This album, we really wanted to zero in on people that have, you know, left the church or are dissatisfied with the church or are in kind of spiritual limbo because they're dissatisfied with especially the worship that they see going on and the music, and we wanted to just kind of direct this album to them to say, you know, what if we still believed, and say that to them, and have it be you know, a real presentation of different kind of worship. To be honest, Duane and I have been just real tired of some of the worship music that's out there, and just in general, some of the contemporary Christian music that's out there. We wanted to do something different that meant a lot to us, and also we drew from our roots, from to be blunt, you know, 70s music. You know, people that influenced us, from, you know, the Eagles to Poco to Buffalo Springfield, and we kind of went back to that, and it's reflected in the music on this album.
It is, but the amazing thing is that you take that and you couple it with, you know, the message of the Easter liturgies of St. John Chrysostom, and it's this incredible mesh between those two that really makes somebody elevated in worship to Christ and to God. I mean, that's the incredible, beautiful thing about this album.
Yeah,
and I'm just taken back by it, and it's very different than Martyr's Prayers. It's very different than the Martyr's Prayers album. It's in stark contrast
than Martyr's Prayers.
Yeah, and so I definitely want to play one of the songs here for our listeners, and it's my favorite. I know it's one of your favorites, Michael, as well, and it's Joyous Light. You want to talk a little bit about the song? But, well, actually, let's play it first for listeners, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about it.
Joyous Light of the holy glory of the immortal Father, heavenly and holy blessed Jesus Christ. The setting of the sun, we see the evening light. We praise the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit of God. care for the world, glorifies you.
Joyous Light. You're listening to Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio, and we're talking with Michael Bell and Dwayne Arnold. They are the creators of this newest album, Mystic Chapel. And do you want to talk a little bit about Joyous Light for us?
Joyous Light is a lamp lighter song. I think I'll have Dwayne tell you.
Sure,
about this.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, Bill. The whole text of Joyous Light is right as the liturgy begins, they light the lampada, the lights before the icons. And it really signals the beginning of a time of worship. And it's something I think that we're missing out on now. Even within the liturgy that we're seeing practiced within the church, this sense of reverence at the beginning. And that's what the language is all about.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And so in the Easter liturgy of St. John Chrysostom, there's this actual lighting of these lampada, as you said, before each of the icons in the church. So you're, and that is very rich in symbolism, but the lyrics also take us pointing through Jesus Christ too, as we just heard, that it's all revolving around Jesus Christ. So that's a very cool imagery that you've just painted for us, you know. Very neat.
Well, it's you know, the one thing that the Orthodox get is, you know, as you well know, is a sense of the mystical. They take you within the liturgy on a journey. You start at a certain place, you end at a certain place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, within our tradition as Roman Catholics, I think it's sort of the sense of how can I say this? Isn't it nice at the end of the Mass when you hear the priest say, "The Mass has ended." Go in peace. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There is this positive demarcation that's placed as to what has just taken place in your life over the last hour.
Yes.
Well, this is sort of the opposite of it. This is the beginning of saying, okay, Christ is present here now. We light the lamps before the icon. Here's the beginning.
Yes, yes. And the other interesting thing is, you know, when especially I was just drawing on the your positive demarcation of the end of Mass in the Roman ritual, and you know the interesting thing about that is that Mass, I always like to say Mass is all about leaving because that is the beginning. You know, that is the beginning for Roman Catholics, is that, okay, now we're supposed to go out and serve, glorify the Lord by your life, which is one of the newest things that we can use from the liturgy, the revamped liturgy a few years ago.
Right.
And that's beautiful. That's beautiful that this is not about, you know, Christmas is all about Christ's exit from heaven onto earth. That's what it's about. It's a solemn leaving. Mass is a solemn leaving, but it's celebrated such that this is the beginning. So of your week, of your life, of everything, it's a brand new beginning. And I like that, especially with Joyous Light, and bringing all of that into one song that is very, very, very uplifting, and it, quite frankly, it's fun to sing. I mean, I was telling you before we got started here on the podcast that I put it on repeat and I drive home, you know, listening to this song. It's fun to sing it. It's worship. It's worship of God.
Well, you're in love with the beginning of this. You're in love with the beginning of this structure of worship. It's very interesting when I talk to very traditional Catholics who like the extraordinary form. They'll always say, "Ita missa est."
Yes.
They always come back to that, the final words of the Mass, which mean enormous amounts to them as they go from that place into the world.
Right.
I think we need these places of demarcation to say, this is a time that's to be holy. This is a time that's to go and serve.
Yes. Yes,
and I think that's just such an important part of the Christian life.
Yeah, it really is. It's because, you know, it's almost like the ocean tide too. It's the you know, coming together. It's a tide coming in. It's a tide leaving. It's a tide coming in. The tide leaving at Mass. I just love that. You know, there's a beautiful imagery with that too, because we come together and we go out. We come together and we go out.
Yes.
And I think you guys capture that. That entire thing in music, and it's so incredible to reflect on this. I mean, if you could meditate on this album, you could meditate on that one song for days and just continually allow that. And that's one of the things I like, as you were talking about, you know, bringing in the Orthodox Church, is that it's mystical, that it's meant for you know, interpretation. It's meant for reflection. It's meant for that, because that's what mystics do in the church. They spend time reflecting.
Absolutely. And you know, it all comes out of the Desert Fathers. Chrysostom was so influenced by the Desert Fathers, as I'm sure you know. His liturgy, even many of the words, come right out of the Syriac liturgy of St. James, which takes us right back to the Aramaic language. I mean, we're right back in the first and second century.
Yeah, exactly.
We're right there with the followers of Jesus themselves speaking Aramaic.
Yeah.
And Chrysostom has brought that right up to us today.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that incredible? And it's all packaged through with this amazing sound. This amazing sound, to steal a lyric from the song, an amazing sound, or a you know, the holy sounds, and that right there, is so unique. Your sound of praise is so unique to the Father. Why? Because it's drawing on contemporary music, as Michael said, from the 70s. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, it's holy sound glorifying God with this amazing backdrop of St. John Chrysostom. So, what an awesome song and what an awesome album.
Well, thank you. I mean, one of the things that Michael, I think, did musically in this that I think is just absolutely great. You know, so much of what you hear in contemporary worship albums, praise albums, I hate to say this because people mean well, but it's sort of either elevator music or it's Jesus is my boyfriend
exactly.
type of things. And we didn't want that. And Michael really drew on his roots. People like Jackson Brown, people like the Eagles, people like Poco, people like the band Dawes now, to make it real.
Right. It is
and
real.
I think making it real also makes it accessible.
I agree.
And that's one of the things we really wanted to do in this.
You definitely do it, and you do it well. And, you know, I'm now soaring here on the wings of angels, and I want to play another song for the listeners. So let's play We Sing With Angels right now for our listeners. We can come back and talk more about this. Again, you're listening to the voice of Dwayne Arnold and Michael Bell here, the creators of Mystic Chapel. They make up the project. So here is another one of their songs, We Sing With Angels. Sun you'll bring. So that was We Sing With Angels off of the album Mystic Chapel by The Project. And Michael, I want to ask you a little bit about that song. Tell me a little bit about We Sing With Angels, its creation, its inspiration.
Well, the song came about, and it's our first Marian hymn. I'll say that. You know, Duane and I've never written a Marian hymn before, so it's our first. It came about with Duane. You know, when we create music together, Duane and I, it's varied in its process. This one was pretty unique in the sense that he, in the middle of the night, he got a melody in his head, and so he recorded it on his voice memos function on his phone, so that he wouldn't lose it. And the next day, we got together, and he said, "I got this melody, and I think that it's, you know, we'd already had pretty much some of the text, at least from St. John Chrysostom about Mary and the Marian song from the liturgy." So we got together and said, "Well, how can we fit this melody in?" Which was the chorus of the song, and we sat down with it, and really, probably within, and Duane is just a master at wordsmithing. You know, he's a writer, and so I sat down with him with my guitar, and he got his pen out, and we finished the song. We had already started it, but in about 45 minutes, we knocked out the song. I mean, it just from this little melody of inspiration came to us. And so really pleased at how that whole thing came out. And that's pretty much we Sing With Angels, the quick little collaboration.
Well, that's awesome, and it's neat for the behind the scenes of listeners to hear how you put songs together, because you know, it's obviously a collaborative project, and you're able to really just work so well together, bring the writing and bring the music creation in, and it's so cool. You guys just are so unique. You have such a unique sound and such a unique process, and really one that's not matched by any other Christian musicians out there, Catholic musicians out there in the world today.
Thank you. Yeah. What's unique about Duane and I and our songwriting, I mean, we've been friends for, I think it's about 40 years now, and we've worked together, you know, on the staff of a church, and worked together in music, and so Duane and I know each other's kind of musically, we know each other like inside and out, and that's one thing. And the other thing is we both also love the same kind of music. So when we're writing together, I can say, you know, I'm thinking about kind of a Neil Young kind of a twist here to the song, and he'll know exactly what I'm talking about, and vice versa. You know, he'll mention to me, what if we tried, you know, this from Don Henley, or, you know, this Eagles lick that would fit in the, you know, and we know immediately what one another's talking about. That really helps knowing each other so well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I want to feature one more song on the album, and we're going to close with that song, Death Is Destroyed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I recognize the name Phil Keaggy from the first album, from Martyr's Prayers, and
sure.
And I know that you've worked with him, and you mentioned that he is featured in this song on the album as well. So you want to tell me a little bit about the collaboration with him, and also just about the song itself?
Yeah. Now, you know, Phil, our friendship with Phil Keaggy goes way back to the 70s as well. Phil used to come and stay with us in our little faith community, and can kind of go out from our faith community and do little gigs where we lived, and we got to know Phil pretty well. And and you know, through the years, as we went on, and we kind of lost touch with Phil, and you know, we all went our ways. Well, in the meantime, I kept following him musically as to what he did, and he is one of my top three most influential guitar players who have influenced my playing a lot. And so when we reunited with him this past couple of years in the studio, I was so thankful, grateful to be in his presence again. And what meant a lot to me was to be in the studio with a song that Duane and I had both written, and to sit with Phil Keaggy and play guitar with one of my guitar heroes was pretty much a high point of my life.
That's awesome. That is so great.
And I kept, Duane's going to take the story from here. It's kind of funny. Here you are.
We were in the studio, and Michael and Phil were in the recording booth. And the engineer was there. We would start. And about every 15 seconds, Michael would flub. He'd flub his chords. He'd hit the wrong chord. And finally, the engineer turned to me, because we had gone back to the beginning half a dozen times. And he said, didn't Michael practice? Is he ready for, doing the recording? And I said, I know exactly what's going on. And I went into Michael and I said, stop looking up at Phil and thinking I'm playing live with Phil Keaggy. Because what was happening is every 15 seconds, he would look up and he'd go, oh my, Phil Keaggy's right here 3 inches away from me.
Completely starstruck.
Exactly, and he plumbed the chord. And as soon as he realized that, he went, okay, yeah, I get it now.
Right.
And went through and did it flawlessly.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah,
it's one of the funniest memories from that time.
It's so great. You want to talk a little bit about the song itself? And because it's a great title for a song. It's a great title for, Christian Victory.
Well, it is a wonderful one, and this song probably goes back the furthest in terms of liturgy. And I don't want to be terribly controversial here, but this probably comes directly out of the Syriac liturgy of St. James. And you notice that it says, the women disciples of our Lord. It is one of the few places in ancient liturgy where you are going to see the words, the women disciples of our Lord.
Sure. That's beautiful.
I find that just a fascinating thing.
It is. It is absolutely fascinating, and one that kind of is striking for people in today's culture, because we hear so many negative things, and maybe they're not negative, but we hear so many things about, women priests. Why can't there be women priests? Why can't there be this? Why can't there be that? But what it shows that there's a role for women, and it's a role that is mentioned in the liturgy, right? It's a role that's mentioned in this liturgy.
Absolutely. And the thing is, equality of placement within the church is not the same thing as equality of function.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that as Americans and as Westerners, people in Western civilization, we say equality of place has to equal equality of function. And not necessarily.
Right. Well,
and
yeah.
You know, it's just a different view of it. And I think that for women to be seen as the women disciples of the Lord, equal of the apostles in many, many ways, does that mean that there is the same function? Not necessarily, nor does there have to be to maintain equality.
Right, and you know, the other thing that I always mention, and it's kind of timely for the 44th or 45th anniversary of Roe v. Wade coming up here in just a few days, but the thing I always mention is, well, I can't become a mother, you know, and I don't want to be a mom, you know.
Exactly.
So I don't think that the Blessed Mother would want to be a father either. She's a mother, and again, it speaks to exactly what you're saying, that it doesn't have to be one, you know, they don't have to be both, you know, function and practice don't have to be the same thing. It can be, you know, there can be differences, and it's okay to have those differences, because guess what? I'm not charged with carrying a human being in the womb full term. I'm not charged with that. As a man, I don't have that ability, nor can I, because it's biologically impossible for me to do that.
Exactly. And the thing is, I'm sure that in your marital relationship, you and your wife are equal in all ways.
Oh, sure. Married people absolutely are that way. And
you know, that's the way you survive in a marriage.
Right. Right.
And but it doesn't mean that the functions are the same.
No. No, and you can't have you can't function the same way. God has created us so that we actually can't function the same way.
Exactly.
And until we accept that, until we know that about ourselves, and I think many people are trying to confuse that. I mean, that's Satan and the culture today. But let's look at those words of the song. Death is destroyed. And if we put all the trust and all the hope in Jesus Christ, and that He is looking out for us, and He is doing the absolute best for us all the time, and His law and His practice and the way He's created us, and we follow that, then what's the result? Death is destroyed.
Absolutely.
So I got to thank both of you so much for the enlivening theological conversation, the musical conversation. It is just an amazing, amazing experience always talking with you on the air and off the air.
That's wonderful. I always enjoy talking with you, Bill. Listen, I'm going to turn you over to Michael just for him to be able to sign off.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, listen, you take care of yourself, my brother.
Yes, I will. I will, and same to you.
Okay, here's Michael.
Yes, always good to talk with you, Bill.
Yes, Michael, thank you so much for your time. And any last comments on Death is Destroyed?
Just that it's a wonderful song that you know, that one, the music, that was one of the first songs that I wrote after I received this little booklet of the Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom. The chords just came to me, and so that song goes way, way back and means a lot to me, especially since Phil played on it. And you know, we had to kind of hold Phil back, because he kept putting more guitar parts. He just kept stacking these guitar parts on it. All these little licks and leads, and we you know, hated to leave some of them out, but we had to leave a whole bunch out because he got real inspired with it.
Oh, awesome. Well,
so I'm glad that you enjoy it.
I do. I always enjoy all your music, and we'll leave our listeners now with Death is destroyed. This is this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio. Until next time, I'm Bill Snyder. God bless. Here now is Death is Destroyed from the Project's album Mystic Chapel.
The women disciples of the Lord learned from the angels of his rising, and with pride they did proclaim so joyously to his disciples. Death is destroyed, Christ our God is arisen. He gives to the world great mercy. Death is destroyed, Christ our God is arisen. He gives to the world great mercy.
Young Catholics Respond is a production of Patchwork Heart Radio, an initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry, and may not be reproduced or transmitted without the expressed written consent of Patchwork Heart Ministry. For more information about Patchwork Heart Ministry, visit patchworkheart.org or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.